Message I want to preach, but today over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I want to read 5 words. I have fought a good fight. That's all I'm going to read. That's my text. And then my subject is grace, grit, greenback, and griping. I added one word. Wednesday night I preached on grace, grits, greenback. And I'm going to add a little bit to it now and add one more word, and that's griping. And we'll move on from here. Now you just give me time to get started. I have a lot of things to think of that you don't even know about before I preach. You just don't know. A whole lot of things some of you don't know. Sit around and listen. You might learn something. Now, I don't have to call down your children now, because I'll come out there and get you. And I want you to listen to this. You need this. You're big enough to understand what I'm going to preach. And pay attention to it. Now, the first thing I might ought to do before I get into my message is to answer the Sumner scandal that was put in the paper about Jack Hiles and some of the stupid people supposed to be. Just think it through. And I knew he'd retaliate. I know he'd come out when it was time to come out and give you the truth about the matter, but he's just now started a series of messages, and I got the first tape and listened to it, and it's just exactly like I thought it would be. You see, he let out the real thing that's going on. See, now for 5 years they've been trying to get him. You know, they try to get you when you really preach against sin, and Jack does preach against sin. And got up there and told him, he said, this crowd that's working along with the Sumner feller. See, Sumner got mad when he went down there when they put in the editor for the Sword of the Lord. And he went down there and blocked it. And they put in Hudson. They didn't do too much better, but it would have been better than if Sumner had went in. And then some other things that he didn't like. So he decides to work in among the people and get them telling tales. And when they're talking about Jack, he said, this has been going on 5 years. And I didn't say one word about it. I kept it in my heart because it was all on me. But so now they jumped on my staff, my family, said, you can't do that. And so I'm coming out now with the truth about this. See, they put it out, something about his wife. And then he put it out, they brought out things, and they'd call up his best workers like they do. And all. See, he'd give us a pattern that they're using there on him, that he works in every church. I've been through about four of them, about three here, about two in High Point, something like four or five. They use the same pattern, it's the same pattern. Just use a different group of devil-inspired people to carry out the thing. And so they started this tale on his wife, and then started one on his best work. He's got a woman there that goes around the country and tries to get these ladies to form soul winning clubs. And she's responsible for winning more souls than anybody in the church just about herself. Another woman that had a woman has liver trouble. And she might die any time, but she don't stop. She just keeps right on going, winning souls, working. And they attacked her and called her a whoremonger and just a lot of things, names. And when it gets back to Jack, he said, now I took it as long as they laid it on me. But you start attacking my staff, that's my friends, you can't do that. He said, you done woke up a wounded bear. And said, you thought I was a coward, but now don't talk back to me too much the same ones every time. I know you believe in what I'm going to say, but you might addle the people and get them confused. Just listen. And then I'm not mad, I'm just kind of getting straight on it, thing, because everybody goes yak, 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 and they won't nobody hear what I have to say. And I want you to hear what I got to say all the way through this thing, and you'll understand when things start around. And then he come out with this other woman that's another great, best, always his best workers. And they, you know what they use? That's, she's a divorced. It's a divorced couple. It's a divorced people. Well, so what? Now, you see, that's where all this confusion in the Bible. Now, I'm against divorce. You know that. I've never been married, a divorced man, a woman. And I preach against it, and you know I do, and I advise against divorce, but it does happen. In a biblical way, it happens. And God gives three scriptural reasons. This is clear. If you've got any sense, can read your Bible. They ain't go somebody can. They can explain something. And they'll give you that. There's three reasons. One of them is death. One is fornication. The other one is desertion. The Bible said if the unbeliever departs, said let him go. You're not under bondage. And that's the way they attacked his sister, and she's divorced. And she's doing one of the best singers in the country, doing a great, going around the country, doing a great work for God. And they always do that. And I'll give you some news today. Did you know the best people in this church is doing more for God than anybody else? Are divorced people. They had scriptural reasons, but they're divorced people. God's grace is sufficient. What about, let's use Sammy Jones over here. Puts more people on the bus than anybody here, and has time left to go out and help other bus workers. Now, you don't like this, do you? You're going to get a lot of things today you don't like. Bless God, you need to get some of it. You need to get some. Some of you phony nickels around here, you need to wake up just a little bit. And I know we got some that don't know how to study the Bible, don't know anything. They can quote a little scripture, but they don't know the interpretation thereof. And anybody that can't study the Bible and see that there's three grounds for divorce, you're crazy. That's all I got to say. You're just crazy. It's there, just as plain as the nose on your face. And I've showed it to a lot of people, and they say, I see that. They'd go along with it. While they'd find out some of the leading groups around went the other way, so to fit in good, they changed their belief. Honey, I'm not going to change my belief for no time. No time, nowhere, no place. And on this ground, they plugged at him. And he let it go for 5 years. He let it go. And then the other day he made this tape. I got the tape. If you want to get it, we made some copies. And you ought to listen to it, do you? It'll stir you up. Yeah. And told him, he said, now you can jump on me, and you've been jumping on me. See, this has been going on 5 years. He said, I carried it in my heart. But I said, now you're going to jump. See, they couldn't get enough damage done, so you got them evil workers in the churches. All you got to do is get somebody to lead and stir them up. They're there. Devil puts them in all churches. Devil puts them in all churches. So he's got some more messages coming, and he come out and he told us that I'm going to be calling names. And several of you deacons in on this, and I'm going to call your name too. And he said, Sumner, you know, put that big spread in the evangelist paper. He called his name. He said, I don't usually do this, but since y'all want to fight, and you've pushed me to the last draw, I'm going to fight. And he even challenged the big newspaper up there. He'll put them out of business. Thank you. Careful. And so that's the story. And if you want to know the whole story, you get that tape back there or wherever it's at. It's supposed to be back there. It may not be, but it's around somewhere. You can get it and listen to it. Everybody ought to have a good tape player. And you can buy the tapes as they come out. And you'll see how the pattern the devil uses everywhere he goes. Same way. He's used the same pattern right there that he's tried to use on me for 3 or 4 times in my ministry. And sometimes they do a lot of damage with that. And he said, I'm standing by my church, and I'm going to give me time, and I'll explain all this through the paper so you can understand. Now, they come back with this. They said, well, the fellow had it documented. What the devil you mean had it documented? Bull stuff. I can go get this newspaper and tell any kind of trash, and they'll stick it in there. Documented. He said, didn't you know that? You didn't know it. You go to won't prove your point. You say, well, it's documented. To hell with that. What is documentation? Just tell the newspaper man, if he believes you, put it in there. If you don't, he put it in there. It makes a good story. So there it is. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you don't know the house case, but a lot of you do. And the reason I didn't want to holler amen right while I'm talking, people can't hear what I got to say. I like amens. I like people amen a little. But there's time when you need to listen, bless God, instead of run your mouth. And get straight on some things. And this man, he said, this is just the beginning. You start it, now I'm going to finish it. And said, you can't do me like that. He said, you know, I've always tried to turn the other cheek. But said, you know, I'm fresh out of cheeks. Just fresh out of cheeks. And he meant the thing too. Jack Howell, he said, I'm no coward. You may shoot me, you may kill me, and I won't fight you back. I said, I won't run. God's man just don't run. They've tried to run me stuff. I ain't got that no rabbit blood in me. So if you ever get mad at me, you as well get your furniture moved or get your letter moved, because I ain't going to move nowhere. Nowhere. Because God's man just don't move. Now, I ain't tell when somebody's getting sour and backslidden and cold heart. I ain't look at your face and tell. Look right sick. Look right putrefied. Look at you. And so I just thought I'd mention that, and then you can follow on through with it. And I'll talk. The reason I'm talking slow, I want you to go out and say, well, I couldn't understand a word I said. When I get through, bless God, you're going to know exactly what I've said today. And the best people we ever had in this church were divorced people. And I'm not for divorce. I've never married a divorced couple. I always tell them, I know they'd use it against me, so I just don't marry divorced people. But I said, yeah, I'll give you the grounds for the divorce. If your wife's a fornicator, your husband's a fornicator, you're right for divorce. I said, if your wife's dead, your husband's dead, you're right for divorce. And I said, if they desert you and leave you the house full of young, or the man leaves, the woman leaves, you're right for divorce. I said, if they leave, I said, you're not under bondage. And that subject was divorce. You're not under bondage. But I fight against it. I tell people not to divorce. They come to me for counsel. I say, whatever you do, don't tear up your home. Don't divorce. But still, God's full of grace. God tries to help people do right. And so there you have it. Now there's... But today I've got to get on my message now. I just thought I'd give that word of explanation. I said I'd preach on grace, grit, dream back, and griping. And I'm going to do it. You know, the grace of God's what give you the things that you need. That's why I started with grace. His grace is sufficient to keep your big mouth shut. Listen. His grace is sufficient to give you boldness to go out here and witness to people. See, that's where you get that grit I'm talking about. That's what's the matter, you people, you mountain people up here. You want people to think you're a man or a big woman, but you ain't. You're a bunch of sissy-wissy, phony nickels. Because you don't get out here and witness. You ain't bold enough to do it. And I'll tell you something else I'm against. And this is tingling your ear. I'm against Christians going out and practicing to learn to be a nurse. You say, why are you that way? All right, I'll tell you why. They use it and say, well, I'll get the seal. But they don't use it for the purpose they're supposed to. If you're going to be a nurse, you ought to go out there to witness to people, try to win them to God, or try to get them right with God if they ain't right with God, and bless them that way, but they don't do it. I don't know of a single nurse, not one single nurse, that's led a soul to Christ in the hospital. Now, you may know one, okay, that's good, but I don't. But they nurse, and they say, oh, I'm going to be a nurse. So what? The socialists have nurses. The communists have nurses. But you see what it'll do? It'll take you out of church on Sunday. It'll take you out of church on Wednesday. And you won't have time to do nothing but nurse and nurse and nurse. Well, you say, what about it? Well, the Bible said, let the dead bury the dead. We've got enough sinners to do that. Let them do it. And you go serve the Lord and win. And so, and listen, by the way, don't let that tingle your ears. I don't know a hardly single case of people went out nursing from this church that didn't wind up divorcing. How you like that, honey? Don't let that thing roar too much. I don't feel they'll use that so they can't hear. I want you to hear that. Now, that's why I'm not for a nurse. I never discourage it. I tell them when they come to me, I said, I'd rather you not be a nurse. I'd rather you stay in the church and be a soul winner for God. Because everyone I ever seen was going to do this. That's, if you not make that a special thing to go in and win them people to God and try to be a blessing that way, what good is it? You ain't accomplished a thing in the world. And they don't do it. I check them. I got the first one that left this church that went in the nursing that got to be a soul winner. They just don't do it. Yeah, I tell you what, it does take them out of all the other services. And you see, the Bible said, let the dead bury the dead. We got plenty of sinners left in the world to do them jobs. And I mean, they're classified good ones. They're good ones. They can do it. And anybody comes to me and says, what do you think about being a nurse? I said, well, if that's what you think you want to do, go ahead. But I wish you wouldn't. Because you get out there and you get out of church. And first thing you know, you'll get worldly. And next thing you know, you and your husband will be in a divorce. Now, check me out. If I'm wrong, you call my hand. But there's always exceptions to the rule. But we've got plenty of sinners for that. And they come tell me, I think I'll go over to, what's the name of this Dell place over here? College, what is it? Huh? Yeah, Syracuse. Oh, I'll go to Syracuse. You go and learn a lot of hell. Worst infidel in this country. Used to be one of the leaders of Southern Baptist Movement, moderator. I used to go to the services. And he left and went over. He come on infidel. That's all he is over. And that's what you get. And you know what you get. And you got to go through all that junk to get a little something else. Now, I know y'all ain't agreeing in your mind, but check me out and see if I'm right. Just check me out and see if I'm right. Call my hand. I'll talk with you. See, I look into these things. I pray about them. So I'm not for nursing. No more than I'm for trucking. I don't advise nobody to get on a truck. Now, Tom does it right. But where Tom does it right, we got 1,000 does it wrong. He does it right. He comes to church on Sunday. I believe they put him on Sunday work, he'd quit. But these others, they're out of church. Their home's all messed up. They're gone. Their wife goes out with somebody else. They come up and say, well, I'm considering divorce. There you go. So I'm not. I say, bless God, get you a good job. And if you ain't make it on the salary you're making, get you a good bag of pinto beans. And get some bread. And get you plenty of water. And sit down and drink water. And pinto beans. Swell up for supper. You don't have to do them things. You don't have to do them. In other words, I'm trying to get this year. Whitley, he said he didn't get nothing where he's at. Wasn't any down, just a handful, 18 or something. I said, well, won't you come up here where we're at? Bring your family. I could tell what it was, his job. I said, you got good jobs around here. We got guys around here make $12, $14 an hour and can't even pay the grocery bill. Come on, join the game. You think I'm mean? No, I'm not mean. I ain't near as mean as old Frank Norris was. Frank Norris, one of the greatest soul winners ever lived. He's the one that split the Southern Baptist and got the fundamentalists out of it. He raised so much Cain that divided them. He was trying to get them separated, protest it, and get out, and he did. But he wasn't exactly like me. Now, he'd say some words. Now, you boys don't start running in and out. If you get out, bless God, and you can't see any firemen, stay out. You don't have to run out of here. What, you have to pee? I'm tired of this mess. Ain't no use people come in and sit down 5 minutes of church unless you're sick. I'll go along with you in these things. But ain't no use in it, folks. It's not right. And I ain't going to put up with it.
Amen.
But anyhow, it gets me off my track of thinking when I got something I want to tell. That starts another something going on. So, but you see, Frank Norris, that's what I was trying to tell. If you catch me, see, I have to watch this crowd. Bless God, you can't talk. They back there running their mouth. Now you stay out too, bless God. And don't you mouth me about it, I'll smack you good, you little devil you. You see, they treat God's house like you do. Just treat it any old way. But it ain't that way. I didn't grow up like that. I'm going to try to train you different. If you don't like it, just see me. That's all you got to do. And I haven't took nothing to pep me up either. But the Holy Ghost, that's all I got in me. The Holy Ghost. That's all you need. That's all you need. You see, we want to raise up a standard in this church a little different than the rest of them is around here. Now, I know some of you had bus riders maybe on there and you're afraid to get run off. Well, just have to run off one while. I don't mean to. I don't want to offend nobody. Frank Norris, he talked a little stronger than I did. He never did use the word God that I know of. But he used some other words pretty strong. And I know he got rough with his singers. He come in, you like y'all come up here and sing some ladies. I mean, he's up there one day. Now, if you don't believe this, you can document this with Brother Green. He's up there. He knows about it. And they wouldn't, drag along and sing. He said, sang, damn you. You say, well, he's 1,000 souls to God, but he'd lose his temper once in a while, just like you do. And he got started with him. Now, I have never said that. I hope I never do. But you say, well, I wouldn't put up. I expect you would. One fellow got mad at what he said. He come back and said, I'm going to kill you. He said, I'm glad you told me. I'll be waiting for you when you come. So Frank put his pistol down in his pulpit desk. I mean, not pulpit desk, in his desk in his office. And this fellow come in the door with a pistol, and he beat him to the draw. He said, bam, blowed his guts out, killed him right there. That ruined his ministry. He shouldn't have done it. He just short of shot him in the tail or something. I believe I'd have used that technique, Brother Tom. But he ruined his mouth. That people, it hurt him. It hurt him to do it. But you stop that man, I'll tell you right now. But Frank, he's the one that was instrumental in separating you funnels, got you out from the backslidden Southern Baptist that you all raving about all the time. That's right. He's the one done it. And he's a great preacher. Love God. I wouldn't say a word against him. But I have to say these things. They need to be said. Now, if you got a daughter, I'd never encourage her to be a nurse. Now, I'm basing it on the fact that I've checked everyone out of here. Every single, and hardly ever you'll find one to do what they're supposed to be doing. As a nurse, they're supposed to be able to win them souls to Jesus Christ. And trying to give them spiritual encouragement, spiritual teaching. But I haven't found one nurse, not one nurse, win souls to Jesus Christ. I haven't found one. Now, I've been doing this a long time, trying to find one if I could. So I know you get sick, but you get over, take an aspirin when you get to the house. They tell me that pink medicine's good for diarrhea and things. Take some of that. You'll be all right. It'll do you the good to get hold of somebody tell you truth once in a while. So you ain't get, you don't know it, I can't commit. You ain't getting no truth around these churches here. Do everything in the world, hold you there. Come over here and steal some, get them married to them, take them somewhere else. That's what they do around here. Come here and go to church and give your tithes. You know, here's another thing that needs to be condemned. Did you know we've got a lot of parents? When they get older, they're young married boys, girls, when they get into church. Now, we've had them tell them here over and over, don't you put no money in that church. Don't you put no tithe. Well, a lady come to me last week and was telling me about her trouble. I'll not name her. Don't need to. And she says, you know what my grandma said? She said, don't you put a dime of your tithes in that church. But that girl had a right to speak up. Now, there's times you don't have to listen to parents. I know the Bible said obey your parents. But the Bible also said you've got to deny father and mother, forsake it all, follow him. That Bible teaches different. You follow the Bible. And she said, I know where my tithes go, and I'm going to put them in my church. And I said, honey, you keep right on doing that. Grandma, I know grandma, you just keep right on doing it, and God will bless you for it. Stick right in there, lady. That's the thing to do. And so, you see, it's times. Now, I know another thing we need to learn about. I know all y'all talk. What they need is compassion. The crowd that you're witnessing to don't need too much compassion. I've been around you long. What they need is some real straight talk with somebody that's got guts enough to do it. You ain't got it. That's why I said about praying for this grace, that you have grace enough to do it. When I can get one convinced, it ain't long, let's start winning souls to Jesus Christ. And so, you see, sometimes we have to speak up. They like to refer to Jesus and all that. Well, what did Jesus do? Well, he told them, he said, you bunch of snakes, you bunch of vipers, you bunch of devils. He told the king, said, go tell that old fox. He called him a fox. I reckon around here you call him a rabbit or something. But anyhow, there was Jesus and John. Stephen said, you bunch of stiff necks. That don't go over to it, does it? I know what we like. We like honey, sugar, and all that stuff. And Paul, he said, you whitened wall. I tried my best in the dictionary to find out what that word meant. And the closest I could get to it was some kind of an old fish, stinking codfish or something. He called him a dirty fish or something. Anyhow, I know when the priest, they slapped him on the mouth, he called him white wall, and then he found out, he treated him with respect. When he found out that he was a priest, he apologized and said, I didn't know. He was that when I called him that name. I apologize, just like I did the other Sunday. It was Mondale's little boy, Brandon. By the way, the best giver in the church. Now, I'll check the records in the tithing, you know. I noticed then he gives a dollar. I guess he gets $10 a line. But you get in there, and boy, that boy puts money in the church. And I guess he gets it off his daddy. I know he ain't got it himself, but he gets it. And I made a mistake. I read a note that he sent up here. See, I told you I couldn't see. And that word Betty, I thought it was Betty, her name, and it was Brandle. He didn't put his full name on letters. He just wrote B. And I thought it was Betty. I said, boy, what do you mean? Sign your mother's name to get a request saying. Then I found out later, Mondale told me. He said, you might offend Brandle because that's his name. And so you heard what I did. You were sure, I think most of you was. I apologized. I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend the weak brother, but I don't mind telling these people living like the devil just what you need to be told. Don't you forget that. That's why so many people come out here a few times and they decide they'd rather go somewhere closer or something, you know. And he's such a loving preacher. He's so sweet and so crazy, too. Don't know about the Bible and all that stuff. Couldn't get him in a Bible college to save your life. All right? But now, I got a call from one of your idols. This lady called and said, would you listen to Pat Boone as he talks to you a little while? I said, put him on. I don't know him. I think I'm going to say he's a movie star or something. And I said, put it on. She started telling me about this terrible thing of AIDS. She's telling me how that 10 million people will be dead with the AIDS by the year of 90. And I said, yes. And she wondered, they wondered if I'd send $15 or $25. And I said, no. But I said, I can tell you what's called an AIDS. They're doing a social work in the cell. I said, don't you know what this AIDS is? I said, that's judgment on America, the way they treated God Almighty. And she said, oh. I said, oh, yes, that's right. And then we talked on a little while, and I said, that ain't all. I wouldn't be surprised if God don't destroy and contaminate every bit of America because of the way they live. They treat God Almighty like, it's just like you get up and walk around here, you get out here and live. And I went up to the mall. I go up there and walk when I can't walk out here. And you know, the only two decent women I seen up there, might have been more, they had on shorts, split dresses, breeches, anything but what they would have had on. And the only two decent women, I went up on Thursday and met Jerry. She was dressed nice. She was right pretty. I went up for Friday, I believe it's Friday, and there's Ann Bowman. She looked all right. She was dressed. But outside of that, maybe an exception, that looked like a bunch of idiots to me. I've been to Japan. I've been to China. All them respect have more respect for clothes than they do here in America. Dress better. Don't wear old nothings like they do around here. And it's pitiful. You think it not only makes me mad, it breaks my heart. Think that we got living in such a heathen nation. But I told her, I said, now there's your reason for your AIDS. God's sending judgment, and the righteous will be judged with the wicked. He puts it on all of us because we're in a bunch together. We ought to be praying. Sure, I might would send him some money, but they said, Pat Boone said he was a Christian. And I said, in the movie business? I said, yes, I said, he ain't no Christian. He might call himself a Christian, but he ain't no Christian because when I got saved, I didn't go back to the movies, and you didn't either. And that's the truth. Thank you for not hollering amen, because that bothers me. I'm trying to think of my message right now, and you can holler amen, cuss me all you want to, and you get out. Do what you want to, but anything you check me on, now the exceptions to the rule in some of these things, just like in the trucking business, Tom's an exception. They'd all do like that. That's got to encourage them all to get on trucking rides. And the same thing with the nursing. If they'd get in there and win them souls to God, try to give them spiritual help. But I got the first one to talk to it ever won a soul to Jesus. Got the first one to talk to it. Said ever, I ain't sent it yet, but I haven't found it yet. But you see, that's social work. That's what that is. We've got plenty of old dead sinners and backslidden liberal church members can take care of that real good. I put them in a good vocation so they can go to church, win souls, get in on the program of what God left us here to do. Left us here to do. Now, then, like I said to start with, you know, we got to have guts to speak up. That's why I'm speaking up today. I know I'm alone in this thing. I know I'll be condemned by a lot of you, and I know I'll condemn by other churches. Yeah, but you might get into trouble like Sonny's grandma. You know, they had a will made for him to get. She did of everything he had. Or she had about 165 acres. That's money, honey. And she didn't like it because he went over and fooled around Lackey, and went over and fooled around White Plains Baptist Church, so she changed the will. And the lawyer told him, said, you're a dummy. You better change your mind, church, or something. He said, no, I ain't. He stood right. He stood in their life. He stood right in their life. But you should have been around. And you know what she called my wife? Said, old puss Lackey. That's her. That's what he called her. And then you know what he done? He just drove his steps. And as a result, he's won a lot of his people to God, and God's used him. He's the best associate I've ever had. He'll do exactly what. Now, I know a lot of them put bugs in his ear and try to drag him off fishing or something like that. But he ain't going with you. He knows you're too good. He can bring up something, anything in his church, and they'll try to bring. I know what they do. They bring up something they know I don't like. And he just said, let's talk to the pastor. That ends it. He puts me in the place I'm supposed to be. But you know how she died? He was sitting and told me how she died. He said, she died screaming, preacher. He said, take my feet out of hell. My feet's on fire. Some of you are going to go all right if you don't quit running your dirty, rotten, stinking, filthy, low-down mouth. You know what's so? You know, friend, some of you phony nickels, your hind end is cleaner than your front end with your mouth. You know, that's the truth, don't you? There's anything that you can say to down somebody else or down the church. And that gets me on my... I wanted to get on that last word I preached last Wednesday on grace, grit, and greenback. And today I'm preaching on griping. And I want to get to that and some more. But I'll just get to what I can. I don't offend. Just like I said, I didn't want to offend Branagh. Because he gives some more than you wonderful Christians. You want to go, you say, well, let me see how you ain't going to do it. I'm the pastor. I'm probably looking at you. You ain't got no business looking at it. Keep your mouth. Tend your own backyard. Tend your own backyard. But I looked down the line. I seen Will Van give a dollar. I figured out that maybe that was his tithes of $10. I figured it was. The boy got the Brandles. Boy, down the line, that money, 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 money. He gives money. That's what it ought to be. That's what he set an example. And puts in more money in church, bless God, than some of you spiritual leaders around here. You got the sweetest way to come in after the offering's been taken by us. You can always slip in and get out before another's taken. Why don't you stop being a hypocrite and go out and get drunk or something? That's what you need to do. And I don't want to offend anybody except those that need to be offended. There's some that need to be offended. Now, I happen to know that we got parents around this church, this area, try to get their children, not well, they're grown now, married, but said, don't put that money in that church. Charity begins at home. What scripture did you use for that? Come on now, Bible man. Bible don't say, it belongs to God, and if you do that, he'll take care of your home. See, I know what you've heard. Charity begins at home. It don't do it. It begins at the house of God. That's what it means. So you're learning something today whether you're doing anything about it or not. Some of you never honor your pastor. I don't care if you never honor me. It don't make no difference. I'm too close home. But there's going to be somebody follow me, and you ought to treat him decent. About the only one who treats me decent around here, brother, believe it or not, Brother Sonny's better to me than even the other members. He's just an associate. He bought this coat I got out. Why, he knows how nervous I am. See, they cut a bad nerve and told me they did. Said, you're going to have nervous spells. You've got to keep calm. Get nervous, you know, can you hold a whole glass of water? Why, he'll go to the restaurant. He'll get my plate and wait on his, mine. He'll go back and wait on his, and then he come sit down. Well, you wouldn't do that. You say, let him eat it. He said, trouble, you ain't got no sense. That's trouble. You need to go to the doctor and see if he's got an extra brains lying around so you can get them, see. But anyhow, Brother Sonny's been really good. He's been a real associate. I know some of us tried to poison his mind, your undermined way, thinking, but he's wise to you. See, he pastored himself. When you come to him trying to get me to do something that he knows that I don't approve of, you try to get him to do it before I find it out and get his approval. And he said, well, Brother Sonny said, or Brother, but he says, I better see the preacher. I better see the preacher. God bless him. He's wise. He's wise. I appreciate it. Then there's Brother Mondale here. He backslides once in a while. But you know what? He's done, I guess, as much for me as any man. And there's old brother. Now there's several exceptions. Brother Ed Bowman, he used to buy me a suit every Christmas. He'd buy me a brand new suit. Of course, he don't know. I guess business has gotten bad and he's got in the red a whole lot of something. But he used to go, I got a suit every year. He'll say, you don't need it. That ain't the point, you nut. They don't give gifts because people need them. They give it to show you appreciation. Just like I go up to the home the other night and they give me strawberries and they give me honey. Now, I'm not saying to build them myself. I don't care if you don't give me nothing. I'll buy you some. But you're going to have another pastor somewhere. If I'm going to rapture during the tribulation, you have to get another one. And you won't know how to treat him. You know how to treat him, see what I mean? And now, come on, you could grin if you want to. You're just mad as hell. That's what's wrong with you. You like to pull my hair out. That's trouble. You can't do that. My hair don't come out that easy. Amen. All right. Now then, now you stick this on me. All I could hear back there, when you going to go to preaching that rough, hard sermon? When you going to be preaching like you used to? Well, I am now. Can you take it? Mm-hmm. That's some of your face bleached out, bless God, like you lose flour or something on it. See, what I'm trying to say is this, and then I've helped Mondale. I've got him out of a lot of jams, but he's been a blessing to me, and I don't mind saying it. He used to, when he'd go out, he had a little old grip, a little old case like I carry a lot of time. He'd have that thing full of tracks. He'd have that thing full of information, prospects. Boy, everybody'd watch for Mondale to come in, see him come rolling there, that old big blue, have 90 and 95 on it. Of course, he's busy now. He's lost his vase, his little valise, what it is. And he just don't have time no more, but he might get back around to it. You can't never tell. But at one time, he's the greatest worker I've had in the church. Greatest worker. You ain't getting that sleepy, are you, boy? And back there about to go to sleep, you're going to get a little louder, a little rougher. And another thing, let me get on this a little bit. I'm too much back on something else. Watch these side jobs. Now listen, I'm not against selling dolls. I'm not against selling Stanley products. I'm not against picking strawberries and raising strawberries. None of these extra jobs y'all get to make extra money. But when they go, keeping you out of the church services, you better stop these sidelines. You know what I'm saying? You're not, you don't get, now, I don't care if you make $1 million, you make it honest. I don't. But to some of you, don't come tell me you don't have time to go to church. You shut up. You better always have time to go to church because you're going to face him and meet it one of these days. When you get to where you can't do that job you're doing and serve God, then quit that job. That's what you better do now. Put God first. He didn't leave you here for that stuff. And it's all right if you want to pick strawberries or you want to sell Stanley products or sell dolls or Tupperware. That's all right. Just don't let it keep you. Now, that woman explained to me before I got up here. She said, "Preacher, I'm going to have to leave. My husband broke two places in his legs, but I have to go back and wait on him. I'll stay as long as I can." I said, "Why don't you tell him about God a little bit then?" I said, "He's lost." She said, "I do." And I said, "Is that leg hurting?" That's what I do. I said, "Is that leg hurting?" I said, "That's a picnic to what you're going to get in hell, big boy. That leg's going to really hurt in hell. It'll really hurt." Now I'm going to get a little while on my griping here for you. You stay with me. You don't need to leave. You'll be all right. I get this gripe. Why don't we have a more variety of preachers? We just don't have enough. You silly, stupid. We have more preachers here, bless God, in one jubilee, and the average church has in the whole history of it. And you say, we need a good variety of preachers. That's silly. I'm picking out the greatest preachers in the country and bringing them here. And they ain't all great preachers. I'll pick one out here, and I'll pick one out there. But drive and say, "Oh, we want a variety." How many you want? What do you want to hear? My heaven's alive. I couldn't get fed on all these hundreds of preachers I have here. I'd stick my head in a bucket three times and pull it out twice. That's what I'd do. You ain't fitting to live. Now then, some of you gripe about the food. I'm talking about, I got on my subject griping now. Just got on that about, why don't we get a variety of preachers? You tell me who. You tell me a church has more different preachers than I do. I want you to tell me. I need the information. What is? You don't know, but you're a griper. You're just a griper. And a lot of you gripe about the food out here. You got good food. Got a good cook out there. Now, sometimes I don't eat. Maybe I don't. It's not my choice food what to fix. If I do, I'll go buy me something. Or something else and get a chance to go down. But you, I'm going to give this to you kids in school. You come out here, if you don't like the smell of something, you don't like it looks you, you all pitch in together. Come out there with $60 or $70 and want to send somebody old slop house and get some pizzas. That's bad food in there. It's rotten food. It ain't fitting to eat. You don't believe it, eat it while they kill you. Pizzas. My God, especially go to the beer place and get them. Why don't you take that as a prospect? Why don't you take that and take that money and start a project in your school or your church and put several of them $50 you meet together? Pretty soon you'd have $1,000 to do something. No, bless God, you old glutton. You want to get your pizza. By the time your belly begins to get big and begins to bust, and somewhere else you bust, you wish you'd stayed off them pizzas. Amen. And we're having a time. If a depression comes like they claim it's coming and it gets here before Jesus does, you students are going to come off that spoil. What it ain't all together, the students, low-down parents here, you spoil them to death. Now, when you get up and go through a depression like I did, and you got up and you eat milk gravy for breakfast and pone bread, that's all it was. Then you eat pone bread and milk gravy for dinner, that's all it was. Then you eat pone bread and milk gravy for supper. That's all there was. You'll learn something. You won't gripe and fuss and grumble about everything. You won't gripe all the time. Just full of the devil. That's what's the matter with you. Just full of the devil. You need to train these children different. God's going to train them one of these days when he takes away. We go into this deep depression. And you have to do what you got. And that won't be nothing. You'll learn. You know, I wouldn't care for depression to come. I'd be willing to drink that water and eat that bread for 7 months just to learn you all some sense. You've had everything handed in your lap, and you've handed right over in your children's lap. You don't let them earn nothing. You've had bread. I don't let come up like I did. It's done you good to come up like them, to come up like you did, some of you. That's what made you, what little is of you. That's what made you. Brought you upright. I'm not getting very popular with this message, but I'm going to preach, so help me God. If Jack Howell said, if it hair lips, we said a dog or something, a devil. Well, I have tried. Now, I've tried to set an example before you in my ministry, whether you know it or not. I preached when you had to practically carry me up here. Hadn't been for Sunday a lot of times. I don't know what I'd done. See, you didn't know it, but that stroke hit me. It put me out of commission on my left side, but I drug that leg and couldn't put. I pick up a cup. A water, anything to drink, I had to hold both hands. I'm getting better now, though, thank God. Go to a restaurant. Sonny knows my condition. He'd grab my plate and say, you sit down. He'd go fill it up and wait on me and then go get him one. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? Yeah, but you ain't mountain very much, are you? Ain't mountain very much, are you? Just not very little. I've tried not to gripe about things. See, I was running a business when I come here, and the deacon at that time said, we'd love to have you here as pastor, but we ain't got nothing to pay you. I said, what could you pay me? He said, we'll give you $25 a week. I said, I'll take it. I said, the only thing I'll ask you, will you give me more if it comes in? He said, sure will. Less than 3 months, it's paid me $150 a week. God take care if you do right. Do right if the stars fall. That's what you're supposed to do. Do right if the stars fall. I've tried not to gripe. Even in my revival, I've tried not to gripe. I was in, I've been in homes preaching revival where they had TB patients. Back then, when a person took TB, they died. Wasn't no cure. Now they can cure it. And I knew it. I preached my revival right on. They'd bring the nurse there every other day to look after me a little bit. And they put me in homes where there'd be undisciplined children, maybe five or six little bitty young'uns. Give me a room where they could just come in and just get all over me and tear up my stuff. I never said a word. I just prayed. I said, Lord, if that's what to take, what you want, I tried not to gripe. God's blessed my man. Maybe that's the reason I'd have 30 to 50 saved about every meeting I held. Don't remember, I hardly ever hold a meeting and have 30, 40 souls saved in little churches. And bad food. I know one place they put me, and this man lined up his children at the table. He bribed back that big brother, said, well, said, we put up this every day. I guess you can put it a few days while you're in a revival. I never said a word. Never said a word, just stepped out on eating his own stinking food and doing the best I could. And then I'd go to church the whole revival, and they'd put me to stay in a camp 50 miles. Closest motel's 50 miles over a certain town, and I'd have to drive that 100 miles every night. They didn't often put me in a home enough to take care of me. I didn't say a word. I just drove. God blessed me. God really blessed me. And then I know in Ashburn they took me in a home down there. You all know how I feel about putting a dog in a house. He don't belong in a house. Not in my house. If you want to keep him stinking, smelly things around, that's your business. Put him where it belongs. That dog's. They put me in down there the whole revival. Him and his wife had beautiful rooms upstairs. You know where they put me? Put me down in the basement with the dog. I don't like dogs. I didn't say one word. Dog come up, try to eat out of your plate. Had me laying down there on a pallet or something. And he said, it won't bite you. I said, oh, but that smell. I didn't say it to him. But I didn't say a word. Didn't say a word about it. I didn't want to be a griper. I just took it. Took it on the chin. I've been in churches where they'd milk the offering. You don't know nothing about that, but they'd take in $500 and strip it down to about 50 and thank you for coming. Wish it would have been more. I was in Portsmouth. No, Hamilton, preaching revival, and I caught on to it. And the offering, they love me. They give. And get ready to leave, and I had to drive 300 miles two ways. They'd give me maybe $50. You try to make it on that $50 and say, nah, I wish it had been more. You've done some. Have maybe 40 people saved. Next year, won't we come again? But I got wise to him and what he was doing. I got wise to him. He was taking the money himself. He finally went and sold some of the property and stuck the money in his pocket. He's doing tricks like that. But you know what happened to him? His dear wife left him first. Then he went back to his old habit of drinking liquor. And far as I know, if he ain't dead, he's back up here in the hills still drinking liquor. God put the lash down on him, you see. He sure did. And I didn't say a word. He took my money. I knew it was, you know why? I had some of Paul Black's people and other people in there. Said, man, when that awful place passed me, I know there's $200 in there. And I put in some, he'd give me $50. That's what they call milking the offering on him. They'll do that. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of crooked preachers, same as this crooked church members. That's right. I'm trying to make it just as slow and easy as I can. But don't be a griper. God will bless you if you're not a griper. He's blessed me. He took care of me. But I said, I'll not gripe. I'll not gripe. I'll not gripe. If you'll do that, God will bless you. Take care of me. Now you say, preacher, are you going to talk to the sinners? Well, I ain't got much to say to you except you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. And I know Jesus might come anytime. I believe Ruppman says it'll be in last May or 1st of June, so that's pretty close, ain't it? Well, so you think he's right? He could be. I don't know. I know I'm ready. Are you? If he is to come in the next 2 weeks, are you ready? But like what that song they sang around here, ready or not, he's coming. I'd be glad if he come today. You might be good. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. I'm against these things, folks. I know you don't. You just don't stop and think. But I wish I had some of them good little old girls and things that I was so faithful here, never miss a service. And then they go off and go to college, go to nursing. Bless God, they just stray out. Can't even talk to them. It's pitiful. So I know you may not agree, but you know I'm right. You know I'm right, don't you? You know I'm right. So let's do right. Do money, I know we all want to make some money. I've made some money in my life. But that ain't everything. If you can do right and serve God right and serve the church right, I don't care if you make $10 million. But if you can't, just don't make it. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Now, I would give an invitation, but I think I done got all of you so mad, I don't think you would even care if I give one. These boys are unsaved over here, and these others, you know the deal to get saved. You ought to not have to stand up here and plead and beg you to stay out of hell. You ought to come on here and Sonny or Wanda will lead you to Christ. That's what you ought to do. God bless you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're dismissed.